Dwayne Ferris with Black Creek Canine Pipeline Leak Detection.
Thank you for joining the program here today. Let's get an update on how the world of canine pipe detection is going, leak detection. So first of all, just an overview of the company, canines, you know, dogs. So let's describe what it is you do and how you're involved with the oil and gas industry.
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, like we are currently going into our fourth year of business, providing a non-invasive leak detection methodology using the canine nose, the olfaction system. So basically, when operators are in doubt and they cannot find that leak that's given some trouble and not allowing them the possibility to pass their hydro test to get things signed off so they can get things up and going, we get those calls and we utilize our specialized trained leak detection dogs to sniff out these leaks. And we have a couple different methodologies that dogs are trained on, different odorants that can be injected into their pipelines and or hydrocarbon type of detection work. So that is kind of what we've been doing the last 4 years, and slowly getting things perfected and coming up with some different methodologies and techniques and traveling the United States.
Do you have one dog? Do you have three dogs? How many, I guess, explain the dogs and the relationships and, you know, the longevity. Is it one you've had the whole time or?
Well, the longevity, yeah, we started out with one leak detection dog. From there, we've multiplied up to six specialized leak detection dogs. We do have other services that we utilize different dogs for example, like narcotics, explosives, and firearms detections. But those are specialized for those kind of traditional detection methodologies. So, yeah, we're up to six, and I actually got a seven-month-old Dutch Shepherd named Cera, C-E-R-A, short for Cerebus, who's currently in training to hopefully walk those right-of-ways here sometime, maybe later on this summer or early fall.
Did you say Dutch Shepherd?
A Dutch Shepherd, yes, sir.
Now, that's the actual name, or is that just you being me? Because that's how I describe some of these dogs, and I get corrected all the time. You know, like the I say the Belgian Shepherd, and, of course, that's not the real name. It's the Belgian, what's the other?
The Belgian Malinois.
Thank you. It's much easier to say Shepherd, so I say Shepherd. And then there's the Japanese Shepherd, but that's not the actual real name of it. So anyway, it's a Dutch Shepherd. Okay, great. It actually worked out. My dumbness worked out on some of the dog names, because sometimes when you're doing radio or podcasting, you try to dumb it down, you know, a little bit for the average person. And then I try to bring it back up, you know, So I did want to ask you about the different specific types of dogs. Now, I mentioned the Belgian, and how do you pronounce that second word again?
The Belgian Malinois.
Yes, and then there's the there's the Czechoslovakian Shepherd as well, and those two look very similar. And those are your traditional police dogs, correct?
Right. Yeah, you'll see those more or less for law enforcement and military. Those are your traditional working breeds out there for those that type of work for these dogs.
So, now, are German Shepherds still around, or have they pretty much gravitated to the you know, the household pet now?
No, I think, yeah, you'll still see some German Shepherds out there that are doing that kind of work also, like I said, for military and law enforcement. So we even see the Shepherd mix with the Belgian Malinois too. So all depends on what country they are produced from and shipped from, and depending on what the organization in hand are looking for their type of dog to be utilized.
Now, when it comes to pipeline sniffing dogs, is there a specific breed that stands out over the rest? I know when you're tracking humans, a lot of times the bloodhound seems to be the preferred for people.
Right. Yeah. Now, well, for us, basically, I've got everything from a black lab. I've got a couple Malinois and some Shepherd mixes, like I said, that are Shepherd and Malinois mix, and then this new Dutchie. So, no, we really don't have a favorite per se. So a lot of our dogs that we do get through our network of friends within the business. So as long as they got the attributes that we're looking for and the drive, the wanting to be out there in the environment, the open air and these fields and push through different caverns and ditches and thorns and just be able to want to be able to work, you know, minus with all this distractions and environmentals going on, they tend to work out pretty good for us. So a lot of conditioning goes into these dogs to be able to work too. So.
In one of my former lives, I did a nighttime show, and during the nighttime show, of course, we'd have longer format interviews, and I had on a bomb-sniffing dog, if you will, expert, a gentleman who trains them from New York State, and we got into all kinds of different, you know, from training dogs to sniff money he's trained. You know, grandpa's got the money buried in the backyard, so the kids pool enough money together, train a dog to specifically go sniff up money and that type of stuff. And, you know, cancer sniffing dogs and all these different types of dogs. How are you looking at the dogs? I look, you know, the word work comes out. And for me, honestly, we're trying to stay in the oil and gas world, of course, with this podcast. But at the same time, the energy world, the oil and gas world, is everything. And with this ESG movement, I look at these dogs as being the bridge for people to understand the oil and gas industry. You know, a dog is a great connector. And so how are you looking at the dogs in the term of this? Do you see it as marketing? Do you see it as just your employees? You know, are they, you know, I mean, talk to me a little bit about your relationship with the dogs.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, our relationship is definitely twofold. Yes, they are our working dogs. It is our business, right? So without them, we're not able to do the services that we advertise and market out there. And they're incorporated within our family unit also. So everything from traveling with us, with our kids, just having a home life too. So it's kind of unique and awesome little experience having these type of dogs with us to be able to have both that companion, right, and see them grow and get them at young ages. And not only that, but be able to grow and be around our kids and families and friends and just kind of bring that spark that a lot of us that get into this kind of work with working dogs really strive to have and mold and build on. I do. Having dogs is a huge marketing thing, right? So when people see the dogs, they're really interested, especially on the type of look, right? And so part of it too is the marketing, staying with some of the Belgian Malinois, your Dutch Shepherds, your German Shepherds, your Labs, and you know, people have their own reasoning for being drawn to these animals that have provided just a plethora of support, be in work or emotional or detection or what have you. So
I know that go ahead, sorry.
Well, and just being able to provide this stuff as more in the oil and gas industry, but you're right. I mean, the industry is made up of such a different array of different things out there, from technology to humans to canines to drones. I mean, you name it. So it's definitely a good little connection point.
Well, I think this is a specific example of where the industry is missing a golden opportunity. Hang on, let me rewind. Is missing a golden retriever of an opportunity to where they can really connect in a new way that actually a lot of their adversaries are looking to connect. So when I look at what a dog can do, a dog can diffuse so much. So when we got our dog, Frackleberry Hound, who you've met, Frackleberry Hound is a stray. So she was not part of our business plan. But because I was personally looking for a dog, I had three dogs, and within 1 year, I had zero dogs. So it took me 3 years of mourning and 3 years of getting ready to have another dog with my son and everything. Because to me, a dog is part of my family. And so in order for me to bring one in, I had to go through a lot of different stages. And so including I had to make sure my house was in proper order and, you know, that the backyard and et cetera, right? Travel. Mm-hmm. Well, all of a sudden this stray dog chooses me. And now I'm moving forward with this amazing Vizsla Chesapeake, okay? And I'm going to go back to the Vizsla Chesapeake in a minute and ask you about that breed in a moment. But what I found, because this dog has got emotional attachment issues, we did a DNA deal, and so she's got serious separation anxiety issues. But she's a champion when it comes to a lot of different areas of being a dog. But she goes to trade shows now and everything else. And by the way, we do get her approved ahead of time. We got the DNA testing to make sure she's not a violent dog. We have got referrals from other trade shows to make sure, because we don't want to abuse the service animal, and we don't want to abuse the, you know, you bringing your dog as part of your profession to a trade show. So we go through above and beyond to make sure, you know, hey, we're not trying to, you know, say, hey, look at us. We got a dog for marketing reasons. That's not why we do it. Well, because it's a great piece of marketing. And that's where I'm going with this, is that I saw Frackleberry Hound dispel so much just projected polarizing that's in society that is just out there. Mm-hmm. By bringing a dog in, I don't understand why more oil companies haven't gone down this path of like having you just go do demonstrations at schools. I mean, just to, you know, bring in the good times of that. But anywho, I just wanted to talk a little bit about that, because I do think that they are missing an opportunity here, because whether it's birds or butterflies or, you know, whatever the hippie and environmental type things are, a dog is part of that. And a dog is part of the oil and gas industry. So rather than, you know, try to figure out new ways to, you know, plant butterfly gardens that you don't know how to do, reinvest in your industry and have the dog people go out and, oh, and by the way, the dogs are actually more accurate than your robots too.
Oh yeah, 100% would have to agree with that. So
not only can you connect with the kids, but also you're more accurate. So there's a double plug. But anyway, I spoke for a long time. Sure. I apologize. So I'll the baton off to you and go whatever direction you want.
No, it's all good. Yeah, you mentioned about Frackleberry there and meeting him. Was it last summer on a trade show? And it does. I mean, just bringing a canine into any kind of environment, place of business, home, working environment, you get different kind of reactions, but majority of the reactions are going to be the inquisitive or the ooh and the awing and just knowing. I mean, we are in such a age of working dogs, having biological detection dogs. You know, now we have COVID detection dogs that organizations are using for purposes to screen and just make safe, right, their business plan that they're trying to implement it, anything from the entertainment, which is mostly the entertainment, right, using these dogs and just having these experts per se utilizing this in this capacity. Within the oil and the gas world also, using these dogs and having these as promotions is a great idea. We do get some, we don't get a whole lot, you know. It's kind of been one of my ventures, my life journeys in promoting the services here, is just to ask questions. I mean, those things are free. Demos are free, capabilities, past experiences, references, all this stuff that we've been performing, we've been racking up and compiling over all these years. That's all free. And that's a simple request in contacting us and let us know what kind of questions you have and how we can address and better suit. So
you're a military man, aren't you?
That's where we're at. Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm a former Marine. That's actually how I started my canine career, was in the United States Marine Corps.
Did you work with dogs in the Army or a Marine? Sorry. You said Marine like three times, and I'm just so programmed to say Army.
Yeah, no. Yep, that's where I was actually. I had my fortunate path getting crossed to have that option, and competed and got selected, and that's what started the journey. So
who does the hoo-ah?
The hoo-ah?
Yeah, I must be the Army. Okay, all right.
Yeah, I think it's Army. Yeah, ours is, yeah, hoorah, Semper Fi, yeah.
That's it? Okay, all right. So,
yeah.
And I know the Marines have got don't tread on me, no.
No. Ours is Semper Fidelis, always faithful.
Always faithful. Okay. See, I'm so out to, I need to be re-educated, I think, on my four branches of the military. Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines. Have I still got that?
Correct.
Whew. Okay, so I'm still an American at least. Oh, my goodness. I feel a little embarrassed here going through that little deal. Well, so much of it's pop culture. I'm trying to reference, okay, what movie did I see this from and what show did I see this? Well, I should be going to my civics lessons, you know. But.
Oh, for sure, yeah. Well, even nowadays with entertainment, I mean, there's dog movies coming out once again. A lot of it is trying to capture memorable events, right, for military or service members with working dogs and the impact that they've had on their lives and in the world. So it is just pretty prevalent.
Are you doing any narcotics? You mentioned you've got narcotics dogs. Are you doing any narcotics for oil and gas companies or I know that when I interviewed Brian Lash, the founder of Target Logistics, they had a zero tolerance drug and alcohol policy.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes, sir.
Yeah. So I know Halliburton's similar with a lot of different things. So, in fact, I know one time when I went to one of the operators, they probably don't like me saying this, but that's fine. It was 7 years ago, so get with the times. They did inform me that my, vehicle could be searched or, under suspicion if a dog or something like that, for bombs and drugs and all kinds of different things. And no different than if you go to a military base, So,
mm-hmm.
Are you doing anything like that? I mean, do you offer those services to oil and gas companies, drug sniffing dogs and that sort of thing?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we offer narcotics and firearm searches to the industry, and we've been doing it probably for the last 7 or 8 years.
Okay.
All kinds of environments, everything from onshore to your drill and frac and man camps, you name it, to facilities, to offices and headquarters, everything to offshore rigs, too. So we've had some operators actually fly us out of Louisiana and go out to some of the offshore drilling rig and lift boats and conduct searches too. So it depends on what their SOP or rules and regulations are with that. And obviously when you get off a helicopter and you've got a couple of canines and some handlers doing some searches, then it definitely makes the people on that environment tighten up a little bit and know that the company is serious about their zero tolerance.
All right, you answered my next mm-hmm. question. Okay, I'll just go ahead and scratch that one out right now. I was going to ask you what kind of vibe you bring in with dogs. Usually you bring in a good vibe, but boy, those...
Well, it's funny because we'll get done with the search and depending on what the results are, right?
Yeah.
But once the results are done, then it's amazing. Everybody comes up, they're asking questions, they want to see if they can, pet the dog, get more information, how we got into it. We're listening to their past experiences with dogs. So like you're saying, having a canine there on anything within this industry just brings out so much more. It's just unbelievable. So, and it makes us feel really good about it. We're proud, we're proud with the services that we provide. And not only that, but just the effect. So kind of brightens up everybody's day, even after the fact. So
you're down in Texas right now. I know that you were just up in either Minnesota or Illinois or north of the Mason-Dixon line.
Mm-hmm.
And it's frozen up here. Boy, I'm at minus 10 degrees, minus something like that today. So is that an issue, as far as the – it probably wouldn't be. Probably be better in the cold, huh?
It's more challenging with the cold, obviously.
It is. Okay.
Yeah, it is. It's more challenging, but that hasn't stopped us. We're up in Oklahoma too last month on a more of a proactive situation with an operator. They'll call us out to have us there in case something does go awry and they need some dogs. And with that wind chill, it was like a negative 11 degrees. So, that just goes into your training regime that you need to implement, utilizing these dogs and getting them to that performance level.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we even did a trip up to Alaska in, was that October? I believe it was in October, right before they were going to get hit with snow too. So fortunately there was some snow. But our dogs were able to locate that leak that they had been looking for a while now. And actually, we come to find out they had some modern technology for leak detection performed the week prior that we showed up. And they detected a quote unquote anomaly, but they wouldn't call it. They had no idea what the anomaly was. And when we got up there, and it was about 5 miles on the right of way, and within 46 minutes, my canine alerted. And a couple days later, they excavated, and there you go, jackpot, directly below where the dog alert is, where their leak was at.
What part of Alaska?
It was in Kenai. Yeah, so just west of Anchorage by a couple hours, and then actually flying over Traitor's Bay in a helicopter to the facility where the right-of-way was at.
You've been to Minnesota. You spent some time in the Bakken, mm-hmm. North Dakota. What does it compare to Colorado? I've never been to Alaska. It's one of two states I have not been to in the United States.
Well, at that time, we were pretty fortunate. The high was 40, but the sun was a full sun. So it was actually an enjoyable day. So,
what's a full sun? I've never heard that.
Full sun, bright sun. It just seemed okay when I was walking the right way. I mean, I was actually working up a sweat. So
interesting. Yeah, I want to do an Alaskan cruise or something to get up there because just the outdoor and the nature part of it. I've been told the mosquitoes are like three times as big as Minnesota's.
Oh, that's not good.
No,
we
it's
know how
not.
Big they are in Minnesota.
I know, they're just vicious as can be. Well,
yeah, no, Alaska is beautiful. It's a beautiful state. So,
you've been to pretty much most of the different oil plays. I always say shale plays, but it goes beyond.
Right.
Doesn't matter to you if it's traditional or non-traditional.
Yeah, we haven't been anything up in the Northeast or on the East Coast yet. So we've had inquiries. So hopefully we can make that change within this year.
That's surprising with all the new regulations that they've had up there. Have the regulations helped or hurt you, or does that even factor in any to what you're doing?
Well, actually, it really helped us this last year. 2021, just a rough estimate, I think we walked around 150 right-of-ways. Okay. And obviously, the mileage varies. But a lot of it was because in preparation of the new regulations that were coming out. So we actually entered into a several agreement with some operators for more of the proactive, non-invasive leak detection. So walking these right-of-ways for these operators to make sure that there's nothing currently going on. And that was satisfying their requirements for a lot of their non-DOT lines. So that's really opened up the door. And we're looking to do some more of this this year, too. So hopefully we're going to start picking up. Like I said, we did a couple jobs in January. We have a couple on the books for February, and March is basically when we're going to really start doing that program again.
What did you learn over the last couple of years? Because if you're walking with the operators and you're talking with the operators and you're guiding them through some new waters and some new terrain, heck, talk to me, you know, pretend I'm an operator and, you know, explain to me what they need to know about either the new regulations and how you can, you know, solve that problem of what's coming down the pipe, because they are coming.
Yeah, they are. And I think it's definitely a fluid conversation because, yes, they created these requirements, right? And with any new requirements come more discussions and then trying to figure out what left and right limits are and how the operators can meet those requirements and at the same time better do what they need to do for their business structure. So talking to them, a lot of them are still trying to learn what they can and can't do. And especially for leak detection methodologies, the question is always, hey, isn't it an approved method, right? So that, when I was doing a job last month up in Oklahoma, and I got to meet some very, very bright, seasoned operators who've been in the industry for several decades and actually had some insight on rules and regulations because a lot of them were asked for their intel, right? Their insight on writing these regulations. So a lot of it was like, okay, so what do we need to do to get these dogs quote unquote approved, right? What makes utilizing a leak detection dog for leak detection on pipelines approved? So that led me down this path in this creation of this association. So I posted it last night. I'm already getting some hits up and some information requests on it. But I wanted to get down this line of creating this International Oil and Gas Working Dog Association, right? And it's basically in response to a lot of this worldwide interest that I do get with regulatory demands changing, getting more stringent. Can you use this methodology as opposed to this methodology on DOT line, non-DOT line, gathering lines, trunk lines, et cetera, et cetera? So what it is. So my hopes was to be able to pull some of these subject matter experts into a nice little discussion roundtable and see how it is that we can complement what their driving force is and what our marketing services are and try to come up with something that's going to be conducive for the industry as a whole. So we've had a lot of operators that have utilized us over these years. But as with anything else, we're always looking more because everybody else is going to bring something different. You know, there's going to be a different insight or something different that we really didn't talk about. So that's kind of where we're at with this. So it's a fluid situation for sure. Always discussions on how we can get better, how we can be implemented, and same thing, get their take on what it is to make it successful for them.
I would imagine right now one of your biggest issues is much like what the supply chain issue is right now. It's separate, but it's the same. And what I mean by that, it's like a chicken and egg situation. It's mm-hmm. it's almost like to where you would fall into that reactive side of the business where right now the operators are being asked to be, and by operators, anybody in control. Doesn't matter what industry you're in. They're asking you to be proactive. Well, now being proactive is like saying, okay, where do we start and where do we stop? Because we don't have unlimited credits here, pal. So how do we know which technology to use? How do we know which crazy science project should we incorporate? We got this guy sleeping at well sites, you know, having Bitcoin come in. And now we got, it's for an operator, they're getting hit left and right in all these different ideas. So I look at it from their standpoint and think, yeah, boy, there's a lot of different areas. But again, let's go back to the point here, which is number one, dogs are more accurate than a lot of the innovation that's out there right now, if not all. Number two, it's great PR. Number three, it's solving problems that is happening on the back end because you are now solving regulatory issues. And that's a big thing because that's where they see the savings on the back end. So if it's a new cost, that's where I think a lot of the problems come for these different technologies and innovations. Because at the end of the day, you are a technology, correct?
Oh, correct. Yep. Yeah, the canine's olfaction system's definitely been coined a tool per yeah. se, right? So a technology. Yep.
So is that one of your biggest obstacles right now in terms of business? You know, I mean, no, I understand that business is going fine and you get some great momentum, but you are, you know, considering to some people you'd be a new cost. And at the end of the day, you're actually going to save them money, aren't you?
Yeah, for sure. And I think a lot of
that's where we're at right now. This is the education I'm trying to bring on to people. And so what's happening is that the people that are investing in the R&D, mm-hmm. they're actually finding out at the end of the year or at the end of 2 years, they did save money. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm getting at. So go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, with technology or any kind of, it's only new technology per se, right? Utilizing a dog. It's just because maybe they haven't had any personal experience, right? Dealing with it. And once it's done with them, then it becomes a technology that they can look to implement into their regulation or their preventive maintenance or their reactionary or whatever it may be, whatever coin or terminology that they're going to come up with. And you're right with our R&D, with other technologies and drones and cameras and smart pigs and everything else that they're able to get a lot of this funding and startups and everything to get that going, which is great, you know, do what they need to do. But when you're looking at the canine and the ability, what the canine can bring, these dogs have been around for just a very, very long time. Doing detection from everything like we were talking about, narcotics, firearms, biodetection, leak detection, human remains, lost and found. This is, I don't know how much more you can get a tried, true, and proven piece of technology, the canine's nose, and really have any more argument about it. If they're looking for more like case studies or white papers or something that they need to get through the red tape per se to be able to have this service implemented in their organization, that's nothing but a conversation. So I've got plenty of literature that we can share and go from there. And let alone the cost savings on it, walking down as opposed to shutting down a line, and having man hours out there walking right away, probing, looking for some kind of gas or dyes. You're talking about days, if not weeks, maybe a month, as opposed to hours or minutes utilizing a dog's nose. So I don't know how much more simpler I can put it out to those that are interested in using our services.
Well, I suppose in a perfect world, it would be a maintenance deal, wouldn't it? Then it would be, you know, once a month or once a quarter or whatever. I don't know how often it would be, but where it would just be part of, you know, part of a maintenance deal, come by and check. And if there's a small pin leak, like how small can they find these leaks? Pretty small, aren't they?
Oh, very small. Yeah, we've had them as small as, you know, a needle point. So, and that's not an exaggeration. We've had them as deep as around 12, 14 feet. We've also had our dogs detect a leak as in fast as 2 minutes. So everything just happens to line up. If everything lines up pretty square and great, then yeah, the dogs are going to be impeccable. They're going to be remarkable in the detection pretty darn quick. And when you're talking about like preventive maintenance or whatnot, once a week, once a month, I've got several operators, and that's part of our program that we implemented was going out every few weeks and knocking out these certain amount of lines that need to be sniffed, right? They need to be inspected for external leaks. And they decided to, we did some cost comparisons, see some proficiencies, how it relates to production. Do they have to shut things down, pressure her up? Well, they figured out the dog and utilizing us is going to be way cheaper on majority of their lines that needed to be tested per se. And that's what we're doing. So, and that varies. I mean, that can vary on how many lines that the operators are looking to have done via a canine sniff.
How do people get in touch with you, find out more about your business?
Oh, pretty simple. So just we're on Google. We're on every social media platform out there with Black Creek Canine Pipeline Leak Detection. You can even look me up by Dwayne Ferris with BC Canine Services, and or reach out and give me a call at 817-771-0008.